This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Will the Packers still be kings of the North? Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros.
I'm this. Freaking verified on Twitter. Let's go.
Oh, my God.
This was the Fantasy Football Podcast before it got hijacked by Yates. He thinks he's a real boy now just because he's got a blue check mark. But we'll see how the rest of the show goes, if Tags can still be here with him for the next 30 minutes or so as we try to preview the NFC North Division. In case you couldn't tell, Yates is very excited, and on the show today, he got his little blue check mark. That is good. Tags is very frustrated. He still does not have his after 10 years of being a real human being. apparently, Twitter refuses to acknowledge him. How does it feel to not be acknowledged, Tags? I just want to kind of check in with you.
Well, after Yates' rant, I was reminded of something. You know, like when you're a kid, like Joe, when you and I grew up, because, you know, we're older than the toddler in the room. So when we grew up, we actually, if you drove past a car of kids that were older than you or a set of adults, you would respect them. You wouldn't stare them in the eye. You wouldn't stare them down. You wouldn't do that. You just drive through, you know. Today's kids, I'm driving down the street and there's 13-year-old kids that stare me down. I'm like, yo, I would have catch a butt whooping if I had done that as a kid. Yates is one of those kids that's staring me down. Like, he's staring me down because of his damn blue check mark, and I've already lost it.
This is going to get salty. So, is this true? Is this true, Yates? Do you feel strong today just because you got a little check marks to your name and you think you're somebody now? Is that it, huh, pal? Huh, pally?
No, you're playing the Italian really well there. I'm having fun with this. This is great. To be verified is awesome. This is something that I've been looking forward to for a long time. I am going to give Tags just a little bit of hell here for the first 2 minutes of this podcast, and then I'm going to move on from it because I told him before we started recording that I would hope that he would do the same thing for me if he got verified before I did. So, it's a ton of fun. I'm super excited for it. And hopefully we get Tags here verified within the next 30 days.
Let's hope. The 10 years and 30 days, in case you're counting out there.
Yes, there you go.
Also, by the way, so we are going to talk football at some point today, too. We're going to preview that NFC North Division. Obviously, a lot of moving parts there going on, especially with all the Aaron Rodgers stuff still kind of unsettled at this point. But make sure you stick around to the end of the show, too, because we're going to play a little game, a new game called Can You Verify? Oh, it's going to be a good time. So you're not going to want to miss this. This is one of those pods you want to listen to all the way through. Or, of course, you can watch on YouTube at Fantasy Pros. And if you haven't already, subscribe to Fantasy Pros over on YouTube. It's a fantastic channel. We got all the fantasy feuds on there, and every single podcast is on there, too. Fantastic content we've got going on there, including some cool videos prepping you for the season that Lauren Carpenter is doing as well. And I also want to remind everybody, go join our Discord channel at fantasypros.com/chat. It's free to join. But if you want to get in those fun AMAs with us and really interact with us, you got to up your subscription there as well. But we make it well worth your while, especially we're just, what, like 13 weeks away or something like that. I saw today till the NFL season. That is crazy talk. Can't believe that. And also, if you like free stuff, and I know you do, make sure you go to fantasypros.com/contest and you get that Stephon Diggs jersey we're trying to give away for free thanks to our friends at Pristine Auction. All you got to do is go to fantasypros.com/contest, leave a review of the show on Apple Podcasts or CastBox, take that screenshot, go ahead and drop it over there, fill out that form, and just like that, a Stephon Diggs jersey could be yours for free, for nothing, just for listening to the show. So nothing is free in Green Bay. And we got to start there because Aaron Rodgers wants respect, and that's more than anything. And I know we've gone back and forth quite a bit about this, and I still feel pretty confident when push comes to shove, when everything ends up and the dust has settled, that Aaron Rodgers will be back. But we have to start here because this changes everything if he isn't. In fact, I'm so confident, Tags, I don't know where you are at this point with the Aaron Rodgers thing, but I'm so confident that in week one, I'd like to put a wager out to you, that week one, if Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback, you've got to do a show with me, no hat on your head. What do you say about that?
No, because we didn't discuss the terms of what I'd make you do. Because
I'm saying that's the level I'm setting. You can bring it back
to me.
That's
my confidence. How about I'll think about that? If I come up with something that I don't think you
can
embarrass
by
anything.
Corn shirt.
No, that was only for Yates because, well, Yates is Yates. But I'm not going to make a bet right now because this is all out of my control. Like, I'm not a gambler because I bet on things that I feel like I have a good grasp on. I have no idea what to expect with Aaron Rodgers. If I had to put odds on it right now, I'd probably say it's a 60% chance that he doesn't play for the Packers, just because you have the owner or GM coming out this weekend talking about he's a complicated fella. That's not something you say when you want a quarterback back with the team. I'm just saying that they're propping up Jordan Love because they have to do that. They have to build the young kid's confidence. But in reality, this team knows, the head coach knows, you are not winning anything without Aaron Rodgers. They need him back in that building. They need to do everything they can to get him back there, and calling him a complicated fella isn't going to do that. So you have to bake it in. Like, if you do early drafts, if you're doing best ball and all these things, you have to factor in Aaron Rodgers not being a part of this team as part of that. You know, one of these players that I would want to talk about is Robert Tonyan, because he's someone that in ADP right now, tight end 18. Okay. Wow. Right. ECR is tight end 10. So I was looking at this earlier today, tight end 18. And I think the public might be right. Did you know that Robert Tonyan was the only tight end last year to finish top 20 with fewer than 60 targets at tight end? Okay. He had 59 of them. He caught a touchdown every 5.4 targets. That's not happening regardless. Like, he finishes the number
three
tight end.
That was the highest mark too, Tags, I believe, if memory serves, of anyone last year in that position.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. So he's someone that he's going to regress. We already know that. But once you take away Rodgers, even if you give him the 59 targets with Rodgers in the lineup, I'd be willing to bet he's not going to finish as a top 10 tight end. So he's someone that in best ball definitely devalue a lot more. You know, Amari Rodgers is going to steal some of those targets over the middle of the field too. So, I mean, you have to, it's so tough to talk about the Packers right now because it's a tale of two different teams with and without Aaron Rodgers.
Yates, you're a complicated fella. What do you think about Aaron Rodgers and whether or not he is going to in fact be there on opening day, or what the impact might be if he is not to this offense?
Oh my word. So two separate questions. So I think with Aaron Rodgers, I am more so on Tags' side here, saying that I think it is a very strong possibility that we do not see Aaron Rodgers play in a Green Bay Packers uniform ever again. So then if that is the case, then you're turning to Jordan Love, who I was not a big fan of coming out of, what did he come out? Utah State, you know, in first round last year, traded up, you know, that was that whole situation. Jordan Love is not Aaron Rodgers, okay? And so while you do have Aaron Jones to be able to take some of that pressure off, you do have Devontae Adams, this offense is going to take a drastic step backwards if you do not have one, arguably the greatest quarterback, pure quarterback to ever play the game in at, you know, under center. So I think you're going to have to downgrade every single receiver, every single running back that's on that depth chart if Jordan Love is the starter.
Now, Devontae Adams has been clear that he's not missing any money. He's going to be there ready to go, ready to rock and roll. Let's talk about him, Yates, for a moment, and Aaron Jones, because these are the two big fantasy pieces, obviously. There's guys who are two first-round talents with Aaron Rodgers there. Give me the scenario with him not there, because we already know with him there what that is. Give me the alternate view.
With Aaron Jones, sorry?
With Aaron Jones and Devontae Adams, sure. If Rodgers isn't there, what does that do to them in your mind in terms of where you would drop them in your rankings, where you feel comfortable adding them to your team?
Yeah, so with Aaron Jones, I mean, the situation becomes, I think he would be leaned on more. I think you would see A.J. Dillon involved more. They would turn more towards the run game, because at that point, you can't put the hand in, or put the ball in the hand of Aaron Rodgers like you have for so long. So you're going to get the ball in the hands of Aaron Jones, of A.J. Dillon. So I think you would see more work, but the issue would then become, okay, what are the scoring opportunities there for Aaron Jones? Are they going to be as great as they have been when this offense is humming like it has been with Aaron Rodgers for so long? So Aaron Jones, I have him right now just inside my top 12 running backs. I think he would drop to a mid-range RB2. Like, he wouldn't drop drastically if Jordan Love is the starter, because again, I think that he's going to see plenty of work on the ground. I think that he would see an uptick in targets too, because Jordan Love's probably going to be checking the ball down quite a bit there as he gets comfortable to the NFL level. So with that, then with Devontae Adams, I mean, I've got him clearly, guys, clearly as wide receiver one this year, because the stats that he puts up is just insane. So I think averaging over 20 fantasy points per game last year, it's ridiculous. So I've got him as that wide receiver one. With Jordan Love, I do think that he would still be the top target, but he would drop considerably. I mean, all things in perspective, all things relative, he would probably drop to a low-end wide receiver one for me. And so that is a big teardrop to go from the wide receiver one, the clear wide receiver one, all the way down to a low-end wide receiver one with Jordan Love as quarterback.
Do you have that same kind of swing in mind, Tags, in your mind, that it could be that drastic for Adams going from Rodgers to Love, if indeed that happens?
Yeah, we don't know anything about Jordan Love. We have zero idea who he's going to latch onto, how the offense is going to run with him, because Rodgers is not someone who is getting it done because of volume. He was targeting Devontae Adams over 30% of the time every single game. Devontae Adams was getting 10-plus targets every game. That's just rare in today's NFL, and it just goes to show that, like, Aaron Rodgers, the trust level that those two had, Rodgers was always going to go there. Rodgers didn't have a whole bunch of pass attempts, so Jordan Love, regardless of if he takes over, if he doesn't, he's not going to be throwing the ball. I can't imagine this team would throw the ball as much with Jordan Love as they did with Aaron Rodgers, which already wasn't enough to begin with. So I would definitely move Devontae Adams down. Now the question becomes, who do you drop him below? You know, do you get to the point where you're like, hey, am I dropping him below Justin Jefferson, AJ Brown now with Julio Jones in town, DK Metcalf? I think that's the conversation that you start having with Devontae Adams. And yes, I probably would move him down there, because again, all those wide receivers that we talk about at the top of the rankings, the guys like Stephon Diggs, the guys like Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, Calvin Ridley, AJ Brown, they're all tied to very, very, very good quarterbacks. We need consistency if we're going to draft a wide receiver that early. So yeah, I guess I'd probably say I was with Yates in that Devontae Adams would move down into kind of like that low end wide receiver one territory.
Would you rather have Devontae Adams or Allen Robinson in that scenario?
I'm probably still going to go with Devontae Adams, just because he is he's the clear-cut number one there, just like Robinson is. And the Bears coaching staff has been stubborn in saying that Andy Dalton's going to start. I don't anticipate that being very long, but at the same time, it's a concern for me.
Yeah, it's same question to you. I'm just trying to pick off the top of my head. I know a wide receiver's at the bottom of one, and I think that's a good one, because, you know, his quarterback situation in a bit of flux as well, to a certain extent, new guy in Dalton, plus on top of which, at some point, you hope that Fields takes over. So you're a little unsure, a little bit of uncertainty, just like Adams, a little bit of uncertainty too, if it is Jordan Love. So same thing in that scenario, would you have Devontae Adams or Allen Robinson as the share on your team?
Well, just like I said, where I'd be dropping Devontae Adams. And again, this is all off the top of my head, probably down to a low end wide receiver one. In my projections, I've built in Andy Dalton as the starter for 5 games, I think. And then I've got Justin Fields taking over, and I've got Allen Robinson sitting at wide receiver 9. So in that case, I would probably slide Devontae Adams just behind Allen Robinson there. So I would probably take Robinson.
Oh, my goodness. For all those keeper league and dynasty owners, I hope for those of you who have the shares of Adams that indeed Aaron Rodgers does decide to come back. Let's take a moment to recognize one of the sponsors of today's show, and it's Manscaped. And Father's Day is right around the corner. Lawnmower 4.0 is out there, and the Refine Cologne by Manscaped as well. It's brand new, and it can all be yours with the code Yates. That's right. So you go to manscaped.com, use that code Yates, you get 20% off and free shipping. And by the way, Yates is also dropping his new fragrance as well. Verify. It smells a little off-putting, I'm not going to lie. It kind of comes out of nowhere, you're not expecting it, and it's very strong, but then eventually it just kind of fizzles out. But if you want Yates' cologne, you have to wait. You gotta hold on. That's for you, Tags. I'm trying to pump him up a little bit today. He's a little bummed out about this whole thing. He's depressed. But you shouldn't be depressed, because Manscaped, I'm telling you, it is the absolute best stuff. I've got it. It's brilliant. You got that Lawnmower 4.0. It's got the 4000K LED light, the skin-safe technology, of course, the new guard lengths, and the longest battery ever. So you can just continue to manscape all week long. And of course, whether it's a gift for you or for dad, the men in your life, you have to choose Manscaped. So go once again, get 20% off and the free shipping with that code Yates. Thanks to us here at Fantasy Pros. Again, the code is Yates and your balls will thank you. So let's shift gears here to another team in the NFC North. And let's talk a little bit about the Minnesota Vikings, who have an opportunity here if indeed Aaron Rodgers does not come back into this division, which is kind of fascinating and fun to beat that bunny around. Last year, very disappointing on the defensive end. I think when there are fans back in this building, that's going to change dramatically, potentially. In my opinion, it was a huge home field advantage. It was not there last year for the Vikings, and their defense suffered because of it, I think, just from a mental standpoint, not just a personnel standpoint and the injuries. But Yates, I want to start with you with this one. Kirk Cousins, you know, when you look at the stats of Cousins, slow starts. That's what kind of shows up the last few years. September of 2019, 3 touchdowns, 2 picks, 183 yards per game. For the next 2 months after that, 18 touchdowns, 1 interception, 288 passing yards per game. Same kind of thing happened in 2020. First 6 weeks, 11 touchdowns, 10 picks, 245. After that, the last 10 games he played, then after that, 24 touchdowns, 3 picks, 279. So, I mean, if Kirk Cousins could ever play well in September, could this Minnesota Vikings offense really kind of be more special than we realize?
I mean, yeah, but there's always going to be a cap on it with Kirk Cousins as the quarterback and the offensive structure, right? The way that they run the ball, they're committed to running the ball with Dalvin Cook. And I mean, it works for them, right? It's Dalvin freaking Cook. So I don't think that we're ever going to see Kirk Cousins ascend into this top 15 category. But I mean, what he's been able to do with Adam Thielen, Justin Jefferson, and then you've got Irv Smith now at tight end, I think that all this kind of aligns to be able to say that this offense is going to be humming again. And the defense, they made some investments in it this year. It's a very, very young group, right? They had to kind of rebuild this last season. And I think that that played a huge role in them taking a step backwards, which leads to more pass attempts. So I think you're going to see that a little bit more this year. They are going to be committed to the run game, though. And that always just puts a cap on the offense and Kirk Cousins' fantasy output.
All right, Tags, I want to ask you this question about Dalvin Cook, because fantastic season for him last year. Do you put any stock into the concept where some people might feel more comfortable with Dalvin Cook as the 1-1 pick than Christian McCaffrey?
Why?
I'll tell you why, because people have, I think, a very short-term memory, and they did not see Christian McCaffrey on the field very much last year, and I think it gives people pause. They saw Dalvin Cook. Now, granted, he misses time too annually. I'm putting it out there as you chuckle. This is real, and this is really going out there. Now, maybe you're the guy to talk people off the ledge about it, but I want to bring it up to you because I see it happening sometimes, and I see those discussions being had.
I mean, Dalvin Cook's never played a 16-game season. He's played 14 games. That's where he maxed out. And, like, Christian McCaffrey has one injury-plagued season that he tried to come back from, and it didn't really work out, and, like, we're just erasing what he is and what he's done. No, Christian McCaffrey's the number one pick. It's not all that close. My question really comes down to, on this team, where Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen fit in. Is Jefferson going to get overdrafted? And it's not because he lacks talent or anything like that. It's not because I don't believe in Kirk Cousins, but it's because this defense getting back on track. You know, they were starting a lot of rookie cornerbacks last year. There was injuries in and out of the lineup between Jeff Gladney, Cameron Dantzler, Mike Hughes has been, he was a bust. But they get Patrick Peterson in there. They get Danielle Hunter now back. They draft Patrick Jones in the third round. They start adding. And Mike Zimmer is a defensive-minded coach. He does want to run the ball. Yes, they absolutely do. But, you know, you start thinking, Justin Jefferson, only wide receiver in the history of the NFL to finish with 1,400 yards with 125 or fewer targets. That just doesn't happen. So therefore, it's like there's going to be regression there no matter what. He caught 70% of his passes while racking up, what was it, like 15.9 yards per reception? That's not going to happen again. So there's going to be regression. You need more targets for Justin Jefferson in order to justify drafting him if top five, top six wide receiver, which some are. And at the same time, you have to say, is Adam Thielen just going to go away? I don't think so. So me, it's going back and forth between them. My early projections have Justin Jefferson at wide receiver 9, Adam Thielen at wide receiver 28. Now that's the thing. I don't feel comfortable having Thielen down there at wide receiver 28 because he's proven himself time and time again. He has a red zone that presence with Kirk Cousins. He's a favorite in the red zone. So, but if I give Thielen more, I have to take it away from someone. I've already taken plenty away from Irv Smith. We'll talk about him later. But Justin Jefferson, again, you have to start removing from him if you think Thielen's going to finish better than he is. I just don't think this team is going to have two top 12 fantasy wide receivers again, you know, with the state of the team.
There seems to be a growing sentiment out there, Yates, too. I don't want to say a fear, but a concern at least about Adam Thielen and the workload in the last couple of years, maybe starting to catch up with him a little bit. Do you think that that's warranted? Because I'm seeing it a lot. And look, obviously we're seeing it maybe to a certain extent in what Tags is talking about from his rankings as well. Personally, now in ECR, he's number 47 overall, wide receiver 20. So Tags, if I believe you said 28 is where you had him. So
That was the projections. I'm not comfortable ranking him there just because, again, yeah, but that's...
But Yates, I mean, are you concerned that, you know, if Thielen is not on the field, how that stresses potentially the upside of Jefferson and whether or not Thielen at this point in his career is a good investment?
Well, sure. I mean, it's all perception, right? Because with Thielen in 2018, he plays 16 games, 153 targets, 113 receptions, 1373 yards, and 9 touchdowns. And then in 2019, he was injured, right? That was, and I think that that's kind of what played a role. But then even I was shocked at this to go back last year, because we talked about Justin Jefferson nonstop and Adam Thielen kind of just got lost in the shuffle. And so I went back and did projections, and I was shocked to see that Adam Thielen had 14 receiving touchdowns last year. Like, I was just like, I don't remember that at all. Like, if you had asked me how many receiving touchdowns Thielen had last year off the top of my head, I probably would have been like 7, maybe 8. And no, he had 14. So I think, yeah, Tags is absolutely right with his involvement in the red zone. That is something that you can hang your hat on. And he still had 108 targets, 74 receptions. His yards per reception was 12.5, so only 925 receiving yards. So it dropped down a little bit there. But I think that you're starting to see the age catch up with him a little bit as far as the total yardage, the yards per reception, but the touchdown involvement. I think that that you can hang your hat on.
All right, let's talk about Irv Smith, because over the weekend there was some buzz where the head coach Zimmer said something to the effect of, well, I don't think his role is really going to increase. Now, look, sometimes with these coach speak things, you got to take them with a huge grain of salt. I mean, why would they say, yeah, it's going to be increased, he's going to be a huge weapon for us? No, you don't want that to be the case necessarily. You talked about Tyler Conklin and all that, maybe him getting some opportunities as well. But Tags, when you're looking at this with Irv Smith, I know a lot of people kind of have circled, especially in those tight end premium leagues, as being a possible good return on investment. Can he be that, regardless of some of the things we've just heard recently? Maybe if that is a little bit of a, I don't know, dog and pony show kind of thing, where you're really just kind of disguising what you really want to do potentially, or do you want to kind of suppress him a little bit in rankings because you're a little concerned?
No, I'm ticked off that Mike Zimmer said anything, because Irv Smith was going to be a bust regardless. Irv Smith was being talked about in the fantasy community an awful lot about, you know, Kyle Rudolph's gone. I don't really care. Kyle Rudolph and him combined for 80 targets last year. That was in a year that the Vikings passed more than they typically would. So Justin Jefferson's role is going to grow. Adam Thielen, they draft a receiver. Tyler Conklin is going to get some targets in this offense. Does it mean that even if Irv Smith walks into all the targets that Kyle Rudolph left behind and he gets 80 targets, that's no guarantee at top 12 production. There's really not. So Irv Smith to me was overvalued to begin with. I had him at tight end 15. And then Zimmer came out and said this, and I know it's going to suppress his ADP. People are going to drop him in ECR, but in reality, it was a bad process all along. Irv Smith, you know, he was going as tight end 10, if I'm not mistaken, and tight end in ECR just last week, I think it was, I looked. So Irv Smith is, no, he's not someone I'm not, he's a streamer. That's what he is.
Yates, are you on that same page about streamer in terms of Irv Smith, or you like a little bit more?
Well, yes, I am on the same page as far as a streamer, but I've got him inside my top 12 tight ends on the season so far. And I think that I will have to go back with this information and kind of split up that target share there with Tyler Conklin. I've got him pretty low as far as a target share and that, you know, allocated to Irv Smith. So I'll balance that out a little bit. So I think with Irv Smith, even though I've got him at tight end 11, that doesn't necessarily speak to the fact that I'm super excited about him, right? It's just all these guys with the tight end landscape in my rankings are all within, if I give him one touchdown, you know, it's going to send someone else all the way up to 11 and Irv Smith down. You know, I've got him in the same range of Mike Gesicki, Logan Thomas, Adam right. Troutman, Blake Jarwin, you know, like these guys that I'm not really super excited about to have his stalwarts on my fantasy roster, but I can plug them in if I need to.
I feel like those are the guys that if you miss out on tight end, you draft two of them. I did this a lot last year.
Right.
I had Jarwin right. and Jonnu Smith on a lot of teams. I had combinations, Logan Thomas and Jonnu Smith. And what I would do is just play matchups. And I think you're able to maximize that way. It's actually a really good way of doing it. And people say, wow, you really want two tight ends on your roster? Well, yeah, if I can maximize that weekly spot of, yes, I think this is a good matchup, I can get a fair amount of points potentially and some touchdown equity. That's something to look at. All right, let's take a look at the Chicago Bears here. And the quarterback situation right now is Andy Dalton, at least for now, with Justin Fields transitioning at some point into that role as starter, one would imagine. Yates, I'm going to start with you on this one. What do you think that transition looks like in terms of effect on the offense? And if things are going well, so to speak, do you think there's a pressure kind of like you see in Miami last year where you make that change anyway because it doesn't matter, the future is now?
Yeah, and we've talked about this with Chicago, and we've talked about it with San Francisco. It's like, when does this change? When does this transition take place? Well, the most natural for that transition is the bye week. However, Chicago's bye week is all the way in week 10. So I think you could see Andy Dalton entrenched as a starter up until then, but I think that it's going to be because Matt Nagy, Ryan Pace, they're going to be a little bit stubborn here. This has been out in the open, that they want the Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes model, right? They want Justin Fields to sit this entire year and then be able to take on the QB1 spot next year. So whether or not that happens, I really don't think so. So as far as the effect on the offense, I've got 36 pass attempts per game, 25 rush attempts per game with Dalton. And then I've got 34 pass attempts per game, 27 rush attempts per game with Fields. With David Montgomery, I think that he's going to see a little bit more work here with Dalton as far as being, you know, leaned on as that runner. But then once you see Fields take over, I think that you're going to see the overall rush attempts for Montgomery take a tick down because Fields brings incredible mobility himself. So they're going to design QB runs for him. They're going to get him out on the move. And that's just going to take away some overall work here from Montgomery. So people have talked about Montgomery as a top 12 running back this year. I cannot get on board with that, especially with Fields and then Tariq Cohen coming back into the lineup. I just don't see it happening.
Well, in terms of ECR, he's at 20 right now, David Montgomery, right, running back 20. Do you think, I'm going to put the tinfoil hat on for a second, if I may, Tags. Starting Andy Dalton for a year sounds like Matt Nagy trying to get one more extra year out of his job to me. It's like, well, but I still got this young quarterback and I'm just not buying it. I think there's going to be too much pressure eventually to make that. But what is the impact of, say, David Montgomery if that transition does or does not happen? I feel like we've gotten so far low, and we've talked about the negatives of David Montgomery to the point where he almost is becoming a value. I feel like we don't talk enough about maybe the positives and maybe some of the virtues he has. I feel like it's kind of going in the opposite direction. Do you feel that to a certain extent?
Well, Yates and I were all over David Montgomery last year as a tremendous value. Like, both of us loved him, and we felt like he was being drafted at his floor. And it's like, anything that you get from him is a bonus because he's going to finish as an RB25 or better. It's going to happen. But now it's gotten to the point where the expectations are all over the board. You hear some people saying that he's going to finish top 12 running back. Some people saying, he's a mid-level RB2. Some people saying that he's a flex option. I'm leaning more towards like the low end RB2 flex option because, again, I want to draft a player with some equity involved. I don't think there's much equity here with Tariq Cohen back healthy. Once Cohen left the lineup, that's when David Montgomery's fantasy stock really went up. The schedule obviously played a part in that as well. If you look at his end of the season schedule, similar to someone like Jonathan Taylor, both of them took tremendous advantage of that situation. You look at the fact that Matt Nagy stopped calling plays during that time, and that's when David Montgomery had the most success. But guess what? Matt Nagy's ego is too big. I'm going to call plays again in 2021. We get tired of Matt Nagy, and it's the same reason I'm worried about Andy Dalton starting more games than he should. I'm looking at the Bears' schedule right now. They're playing the Rams primetime football in week one. They're going to get demolished. And Andy Dalton is going to be like, okay, when do we go to Justin Fields? They're going to let him play against the Bengals in week two. If he gets beat
revenge
against...
game.
Yeah, they're going to let him play against the Bengals. They'll probably let him play against the Browns in week three. But week four against the Lions, the Bears back at home, that's where you let Justin Fields say, hey, this is a soft matchup. Let's let him get out there and build some confidence. That's when I would expect. And then they go to play the Raiders after that, and then the Packers the third game. It would be his third game, which was plenty of time for him to acclimate to everything around him. Because again, taking over as a Chicago Bears quarterback, there's a tremendous amount of pressure that comes with it. And that's why I don't believe they're going to start him in week one, even though they should. Because again, Matt Nagy is in the hot seat. Ryan Pace is the hot seat. These guys have been told by ownership, we need to see something. We need to see like strides. And basically, if they're not a playoff team and if they don't win a playoff game, I don't know where those strides come from. So they can't afford to sit on Andy Dalton too long. David Montgomery, to me, again, Tariq Cohen, they signed Damian Williams too. Damian Williams is a guy, he can play football. Like, he can still play. He took a year off the game. I'm not anticipating him getting a major role, but even if he gets, let's call it 75 touches on a 17 game season, that lowers the ceiling for Dave Montgomery. So me personally, RB24-ish, RB23, that's basically where I feel about him. I don't want to invest a whole lot in him right now.
All right. Allen Robinson, I think we've all agreed upon at this point. It's, you know, you really can't do anything to injure him in terms of his value. I think we all feel pretty confident about him. But the rest of the guys here, Darnell Mooney, Anthony Miller at this point seems like a non-factor. But Mooney had some really good moments, I thought, last year. He showed a lot of fight for the football, which I like a lot. I think that's a good quality in a young receiver. And then Cole Kmet, whose snap count went way up in the second half of the year. You saw some moments. Again, second year in the league, third year in the league. These guys get a little bit more experience. Yates, do you have any hope for Darnell Mooney, Cole Kmet, guys like this kind to maybe take their game to the next level this year and maybe become fantasy assets to us in deeper leagues?
Those are the only two. that I'm looking at here with the Bears offense. It is Darnell Mooney, who I absolutely love this year as a last round flyer, because I think that his ADP is still going to be really low for some reason. I don't know why, but he's a starter in this offense. He showed a ton in his first season as a fifth round pick out of Tulane. You know, like, what are we, this guy can only continue to grow. So Darnell Mooney, big fan of this year. And then Cole Kmet, yeah, you definitely saw his involvement increase in this offense as we went along throughout the season. Jimmy Graham still somehow on this roster. Don't understand that one. So I think that that kind of puts a cap on Cole Kmet, because you are still going to target Jimmy Graham, especially in the red zone. But Cole Kmet's involvement there in between the 20s, I think definitely can provide some solid streaming, you know, options there week in and week out.
Now, we still got the Lions to review and, of course, our sleepers, busts, and breakouts from the NFC North. But I want to take a quick time out to recognize a sponsor, and it's Father's Day. I'm telling you, just days away, you're looking for a present. You don't know what to do. You go to Omaha Steaks. That's what you do, okay? Because omahasteaks.com, you type in Fantasy Pros to the search bar, and you order Dad the Get Out and Grill assortment. Right now, the package is 59% off. I have mine in my freezer right now. That is what I'm doing on Father's Day. I'm breaking out the grill. We're going to grill up all the incredible meats you can offer. This package, though, it has 20 entrees, including juicy burgers, plump chicken breasts, sides, desserts, and 4 10-ounce butcher-cut New York strips. These strips are aged for 30 days, and that's why, you know, let me tell you, they're delicious. Age equals tenderness. That's why I am so tender and lovely and wonderful here on the show. Plus, you get 4 New York strip burgers with that order. It's selling so fast, so don't miss out on this. I'm telling you right now, go to omahasteaks.com, keyword Fantasy Pros, get Dad the Get Out and Grill assortment, plus 4 New York strip burgers for free. 59% off. Doesn't get better than that. Send Dad the gift of beautiful Omaha Steaks. Make him happy. He deserves it. My goodness, Dad's dealt with a lot of your nonsense. Just think about all the nonsense you put up with over the years as a father and what fathers have done for you. Get him some Omaha Steaks, please. On us, Fantasy Pros. Go get it now, 59% off. So let's talk about the Lions. We had to do this eventually. I saved the best for last. Jared Goff, new quarterback in town. You got new running back in town, Jamal Williams also. DeAndre Swift, who had some moments last year, but the concussions, I gotta say, really worry me. And then a wide receiving core we are, I don't know, trying to figure out. Tags, I want to start with you here. Your overall outlook on this from a fantasy perspective. Is DeAndre Swift somebody you want? Is this whole team someone you're avoiding? Do you see opportunities here with Hockenson just from the sheer volume? What's the outlook when it comes to the Lions, in your opinion?
I mean, I try not to associate with bad football teams, and I just feel like this is going to be a very bad football team. I don't know if there's going to be a whole lot of consistency. And again, Hockenson, yeah, the volume is going to be there, and I feel like he could be a top five tight end. But at the same time, it's where is he going to be drafted? And is there going to be consistency in order to justify drafting him there above players that some wide receivers that are probably right around the wide receiver 20 to 25 range? I can't see myself taking him there over those guys. That's why I keep saying it's me. I'm getting one of those top three tight ends, or I'm going to wait and I'm going to play the streaming game, because again, I don't want to reach in the middle rounds for someone like TJ Hockenson, who's associated with Jared Goff, who's just been too inconsistent. I don't really have a whole lot of faith in this team. Like, DeAndre Swift was someone that it was like, okay, he flashed last year, but every move that the Lions have made this offseason suggests that they're going to use a timeshare. You know, they bring in Jamal Williams on a decent sized contract, mm-hmm. You know, and yep. In free agency now, when you sign a running back, it's a pretty big deal because you can get running backs in the draft. They did get Jamar Jefferson later in the draft. And then they go out and then now they're bringing in Todd Gurley to talk to him, which tells me again, this is a room where they want it to be a timeshare. DeAndre Swift is still probably going to be a top 18 running back, but at the same time, it's not sexy. He's not going to win you a fantasy league. That's basically what it comes down to, because again, you need an offense to score points in order to justify for a guy to have the upside of like a top six running back. And he's not there. And he's being drafted around that RB 13 range, I think, right now. So again, there's just not a whole lot of built-in equity when it comes to drafting someone like that. The wide receiver position is just it's a flat out mess. Tyrell Williams knows the offense from Anthony Lynn back with LA, which is whatever, but Tyrell Williams didn't play football last year. He hasn't been very good. Breshad Perriman is a guy that's jumped from team to team. His skills don't match what Jared Goff does in terms of, like, you know, just checking the ball down everywhere. Amon-Ra St. Brown, I know that Yates likes him a lot, and I know that some people think that he's going to get a lot of targets, but I'm not convinced that he's a better receiver than Quintez Cephus. Cephus is good, but again, these are all it's just like they've assembled a room of wide receivers and there's really nothing that just complements anything. And it's like you look at it and it's like this quarterback doesn't match up with anything. So I think St. Brown or Cephas is one of those guys that you could watch for just because I think they match up with Jared Goff's strengths better than anything. And it's just a way to pivot off of TJ Hockenson, who has dealt with some injuries over the course of his early career. So, but in general, I really just don't want to have a whole lot of Lions that I'm associated with.
Yates, what's your take on this team, too? Do you think it's just something to avoid in fantasy because you don't like the unknowns, not to mention, you know, maybe the investment you do have to make in a DeAndre Swift because of what this offense could potentially look like?
So the Fantasy Pros account put out my top 20 running back rankings just the other day, and there were a lot of people that were very triggered about my ranking of DeAndre Swift and the fact that he is not in my top 20 running backs. And it is for a lot of the reasons that Tags just mentioned. Mm-hmm. This team, while I love DeAndre Swift, the player, I think that he is incredibly talented. To go from Matthew Stafford, one of the most underrated quarterbacks in the game, to now go to Jared Goff. Do you know that Jared Goff over the past two seasons has thrown 22 passing touchdowns and 20 passing touchdowns? And he did that with Sean McVay. And now he's going to Anthony Lynn, like, as the OC here, and Dan Campbell and a wide receiver core that, you know, Tyrell Williams, Rashad Perriman. Jared Goff's ADOT last year was 6.7. Like, this is a complete mismatch of Tyrell Williams and Rashad Perriman, which is why I like Amon-Ra St. Brown, is because I think that he's going to get funneled targets just based on the area of the field that I think he's going to occupy out of the slot. So, but I mean, DeAndre Swift, yes, I think he's going to get a fair amount of work. I think that he'll see a ton of work as a receiver, but you also brought in Jamal Williams, who is a competent and capable receiver in his own right. So I think Anthony Lynn is going to try to deploy both these guys in a near 50-50 split. And if that is the case, if we had told you last year that, you know, we take DeAndre Swift and we put him on either the Jets or the Jacksonville Jaguars, and we put him on this offense that's not going to score very many points, and we're putting him in a near 50-50 split, are you still willing to draft DeAndre Swift as RB13 off the board? In no way am I willing to do that. I think that DeAndre Swift is a clear stay away from this year. If his ADP starts to drop towards that RB18 range, then yeah, I think that I'm fine adding him as an RB2 because I can fall back on the workload, the guaranteed workload week in and week out, but very, very few scoring opportunities in this offense.
Well, that brings us to the sleepers, busts, and breakouts. And my sleeper is Jamal Williams in this division. For basically the ROI you get on him. You also talk about potentially those concussions being something that sometimes players deal with, and they deal with quite a bit. And at the running back position, you can take a lot of contact. If indeed DeAndre Swift misses any time, Jamal Williams becomes a very viable fantasy running back, in my opinion, as a maybe even a good solid RB2 in this offense if he is all by himself at any given time. So I think Williams right now is a really interesting add on your bench right now in the early going. Let's go through real quick on the rest of these sleepers. Tags, give me your sleeper in this NFC North division.
I'm going Quintez Cephas. Cephas was someone I was high on last year. I still feel like he's a talented wide receiver who's in a room full of just the guys. And he can stand out with Jared Goff in terms of the skill set that he provides, mixing and matching with Jared Goff's skill set.
All right. Yates, give me your sleeper for the NFC North.
Yeah, we just thought, let's go Lions here, because I think that we are going to see so many people, so many fantasy managers just want to stay away from this, that it actually does create some value. I mean, Amon-Ra St. Brown right now is being drafted, and I know it's June, but he's being drafted right now as the wide receiver 75. So, you know, you can get him with your absolute last pick, and you can plug him in there as a flex in full PPR formats week in and week out, I think. Again, scoring opportunities, probably not going to be there a ton, but he's going to see 6 to 8 targets per game. I can feel very confident about that, and that's an incredible value with your last pick in your draft.
Sticking with the Lions, my bust is Lions wide receivers. Don't want anything to do with it. Don't want any of them. You can have them all, even if they're cheap, like Amon-Ra St. Brown. Yates, who is your bust when it comes to this division?
Yeah, this hurts me so much, but it is DeAndre Swift. I mean, when we look at his price tag right now, and I don't think that's going to come down at all. And I think that he's going to stay around that range. And if that's the case, then he's not going to return that value. There are some other running backs that are being drafted around him. I mean, give me Najee Harris over DeAndre Swift all day. And I think that we're going to see DeAndre Swift be drafted above Najee Harris.
Tags, your bust for the NFC North is who?
It's Irv Smith. I mean, I'm going to stick with that. We've already talked about the reasons. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's move on to the breakouts. I got Cole Kmet. I know Jimmy Graham's still there, but he's 147 years old, and eventually everything has to stop at some point. And I think having him there in camp is good for them. And I think having his presence around is good. It helps the young kid figure things out. But it's a young man's game, just like this right here. You know, it's a young man's game. That's why Yates is verified. Let's see. Tags, let's go with you for your breakout in this division.
It's Darnell Mooney. Mooney is someone that, like, if you were to watch the Bears games last year and see Mooney on the field and how he broke away from coverage and how he made some really, really good corners, including Jalen Ramsey, look really silly at times, and then just watch his quarterbacks overthrow him, underthrow him, do whatever. He did have over 90 targets, which is massive. So if you take Justin Fields, who I compared his accuracy to Russell Wilson-like type accuracy. He's not Russell Wilson, but in terms of accuracy, he was the most accurate quarterback in this draft. And you combine that with the speed and Mooney's ability to get open down the field, it can be magic. And this role has, you know, with Matt Nagy, Taylor Gabriel, you go back to the Bears with him, he was getting 90-plus targets with this team. So if you put Mooney with a hyperactive quarterback like Justin Fields early in the season, and you give him 90, even 100 targets, all of a sudden you're looking at a guy that you can plug in as a wide receiver or three more often than not.
And Yates, spoiler alert, you got the same guy as your breakout.
Ditto. That's all.
Ditto is all that needs to be done. All right, you put all the work in, so now it's time for some fun. Let's play a little game. It's game time here on Fantasy Pros and the Fantasy Football Podcast. Let's play a little game about verified. That's right. It's the theme of today's show, and we're going to play a little Can You Verify right now. So we're going to go back and forth. It's going to be fun. Don't worry. It's not personal. It's just business. So, Tags, I want you to answer these questions. And it's true or false, or you could just kind of pick one. I want to know what you think Yates was more excited about. And the answers that we're going to run from are this. Was Yates more excited about graduating from high school or getting verified on Twitter? And Yates, you can again give the true response after Tags makes his guess.
Getting verified, 100%.
Yates, is that true?
Yeah, getting verified.
Okay. Was Yates more excited about his first kiss, or was he more excited about getting verified on Twitter?
I'll go with the first kiss on that one.
Yates? Be honest.
Probably the first kiss.
Oh, probably. I hope it wasn't the wife. All right, next here. Was Yates more excited about finishing his deck project or getting verified on Twitter? Tax.
Getting verified.
Yates?
I will say getting verified on Twitter because I have not finished the deck project. So I don't know TBA. That feeling yet.
That's still a TBA. All right, let's flip the script here real quick on Tags. You ready for this one?
Okay. Oh, here we go.
Okay, which will happen first, Yates? Will Tags get verified or Twitter, or Tom Brady retiring from football?
Tags is dying. Tags verified on Twitter because I think Tom Brady's going to play for the next 5 years.
All right, on that note, do the Bears win a Super Bowl before Tags gets verified on Twitter?
Tags verified on Twitter.
Okay, that's an easy one. All right, last one here. Will Tags finish his novel before getting verified on Twitter? You know that novel he's been working on? You know,
the one? As long as he's been on Twitter?
You know that
for
novel?
Last 10 years?
You know? Last 4 years.
Clever things happening? You know that novel?
Why are you talking like that?
Well, that's because what Stewie does about the novel on Family Guy.
He'll get verified before he finishes that novel.
Are all those things true, Tags? You kind of turn your key on that? I mean, really the Brady one, I think. That's the one that we can really look at and say, all right. that's got an interesting implication there.
I don't know.
I hope so.
I don't know.
Let's all get the campaign. I don't care about V. Look,
I do. No, no. Heart, so I'm gonna be
in
I'm
my
be
heart.
On.
You're verified already.
No, Joe.
You're
it's
person.
The cool.
I love you.
No,
Tag.
Joe. It's the cool thing on Twitter and all the hipsters and all that stuff to say. I don't really care about it.
Are you calling me a hipster?
Yes.
Of all people.
You.
Oh my
no, no,
God.
No, I'm saying it's the cool thing to say that I don't care. But I do care. Like, I put in a lot of work, and I really do. So if anybody listening to this is associated with Twitter in any way, if you could verify me, it would really make my day. That's all I'm saying. I've done it for 10 years. I've done it all right. I didn't buy followers. I don't say RT this and do that. I don't say any of that stuff. I just put up content, and I don't want you to verify me, damn it. I don't want Tom Brady to keep playing.
That same person, if you're listening,
Ethan, if you're listening to this, I want you to make a graphic of Tags' face with the big font that says, I want you to verify me, damn it.
Verify me, damn it. I'm sure that'll go over well. And if that same person's listening, I just want to put it out there. Please verify me first. Oh. Just for the comic value of doing my the word. Show. That's all I ask. That's all I ask. All right. I want to remind everybody to don't forget, go to fantasypros.com/contest to get that Stefan Diggs jersey. Stefan Diggs. That's what he does, a little dance for you. All right. And don't forget about the incredible offer at Omaha Steaks. Again, go to omahasteaks.com/fantasypros and you can get the Get Out and Grill assortment for Dad. He's going to love it. Don't forget about the cologne and the lawnmower 4.0 at Manscaped. Use that code Yates to get all of your Manscaped equipment because, well, the code is Yates. There's no other reason for that. 20% off free shipping can be yours. And of course, make sure you subscribe to Fantasy Pros on the YouTube channel so you can watch and see our faces and see the pain and anguish and joy and everything that happens here on the show. Because it's one thing just to listen. It's another thing to listen and watch. And we encourage you all to go out there and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Fantasy Pros. I think that's it for today, boys. But the story of the game goes on. For Tags and Verified Yates, I'm unverified Joe Bisapia. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.